Hello everybody, thanks for joining this humble presentation about messy shader analysis. I hope you will find a few things that you don't know about, and for the ones that know everything in the recording, I guess you will lose some time. The summary is this. I would like to show you where can you get the message header from. We have three places from where we can collect the header. I will tell you a little bit about the header firewall, and in the end we will look about we will look at some headers, and we will try to understand what they are telling us about the respective message. So, as I said, we can collect the headers from three places. Probably most of you already know how to collect the header from Outlook Web App and from Outlook, but I guess that maybe a few frontline engineers, especially the new ones, may not know how to collect the header from the hosted quarantine. So I'm going to show you exactly this thing. I have here a tenant. This is my test tenant, and I already have a few messages in the quarantine. And let's say that a customer is asking us why such a message was redirected to the quarantine. Is it safe to release it? Things like that. So here in the right side, we can preview the message and we can get the message header. You will have to pay attention that the message header that's collected from the quarantine contains a lot more information than the headers that are collected from Outlook Web App or Outlook. This information won't be available in the header once we release the header from the quarantine. Okay. So in here you can see that we have headers which are not normally visible in Outlook. The X4 front anti spam header, it's not available. Instead, we have X4 front anti spam report untrusted. So this would be the actual header of the message. Let me see. We have here X original. Yeah. So this would have been the X4 front anti spam reports header if the message would have been delivered directly to the mailbox. But since this message was redirected to the quarantine, that header was renamed to X-original X4 front anti spam report. So when you are analyzing a header that is collected from the quarantine, you shouldn't look for this header, X4 front anti spam report. Instead, you need to look for X-original. Yeah? Okay, so for this message, we can see that it was considered spam with an STL of 9, that's why it was redirected to the quarantine. But we'll get back to this later. So this is the way to collect the header from the quarantine. Okay. I don't know if it's necessary, but I will do it. I have here an email that it's in my junk folder, and to collect the header I go here, click on the down arrow, view message details, and here is the header. Okay, probably all of you know that already. And in Outlook, once I open a message, I go to File, Properties, and here I have the header. Simple. Okay. Next step. Header firewall. As it says here, it's a mechanism that removes specific header fields from inbound and outbound messages. The idea is that you can internally you can add some headers to some messages. Based on which headers, you can take various decisions. But if you send a message to a partner or to someone, an external user, you would want to remove that information. And that's exactly what the header firewall does. It removes parts of the header, things that are not meant to be published externally. And besides removing parts of the header when we are sending an email outside, let's imagine that I'm receiving an email that already has stamped an SCL. So imagine that a spammer is sending a spam message, but it stamps an SCL of -1. If we would let that message pass through with that header stamped, then we will consider the message not to be a spam. So instead, we have the header firewall, which removes specific headers and restamps them accordingly. That's why sometimes when we are asking for samples from the customers, we would like the samples to be saved as MSG files from Outlook and then zipped. If we are not zipping that MSG file, we are simply attaching it to an email and sending that email to an external user, the header firewall will remove parts of the headers, so important parts of the header. And I will try to do a demo on this. I had some problems with Outlook when opening MSG attachments. It was crashing. But anyway, I will try to do a demo. Let's see if this time it works. So I'm going to send a spam message. Hopefully all of you already know about GTube. This is a special string that every anti-spam solution should detect as a high confidence spam. So I'm going to send a spam message to my Microsoft account. From there, I will collect the header. Let's hope that's not it's not going to the quarantine. Ah, no, it's going to junk. So it was detected as spam. Let's see the header. So here I have the header. So this is the header, yeah? I can see SCL9, a lot of information about that message, the X4 front anti-spam report. Now I'm going to save this message. Yeah? Let's say that I'm planning to send this message to a support guy, just like us. So I'm sending the I'm saving the message as a MSG file, and I will forward that message to an external user, the support guy, let's say, sample spam. And I will attach the MSG file. Now, I've sent that message. I will have to to go to this mailbox. I received the sample spam. Sorry. Once I open the message like this, I can't see the header, so I will have to, because this is actually the attachment, yeah? So I will have to start Outlook to show you the header. Okay, so here I have the sample that I sent, and if I'm going to see the header, we can clearly see that it's much shorter and a lot of information is missing from here. You see? This on the left was the initial header, and on the right, the header after it passed through the header firewall, and those important bits were removed. So I can see I don't have information about DKIM. Yeah, it's stripped. The authentication results not there anymore. The X4 front end spam report, it's also missing. So that's why it's very important to ask the customer to send that saved sample in a zip file, not simply the MSG attached to an email. I hope that now everybody understood and saw the difference. It takes a lot of time to until we can close a case because we cannot see relevant information. And to be honest, the customer doesn't know about this. It's not his job to know about this. It's our duty to tell them, to inform them. Okay? So this is the header firewall. If I would have sent the same sample internally, the header firewall wouldn't have stripped those parts of the header. But since it was sent from one organization to another, the header firewall actually the header firewall it's at the perimeter of the organization. Yeah, it doesn't affect messages sent internally, or it can affect, but normally it doesn't. It only affects messages sent from one organization to another. We are going to look at interpreting some X headers, the X4 front end spam report, especially that's the most important one, but there are others that we need to understand. And I prepared a few examples. So going back to my test account, I have some emails that should have a delay, which we can see in the header here. Okay. So this is an email that was sent internally in a hybrid config from an on-premises mailbox to my cloud mailbox. And I can see here a very big delay, 25 minutes, which is between the on-prem and the cloud. We can see here, actually in this email organization, I only have a single Exchange server, but we can see multiple hops. So I have a hop here from this server to this server, which is actually the same one, but is sent from the mailbox submission service to the hub transport service. Yeah. Now, the next step. From the hub transport service to the front end transport service, and from here, from the front end hub transport service to Office 365. The delay is between these two. In this case, you cannot clearly tell to the customer, look, the delay is on your side. If I would had this bar here, then it would have been clear that the delay is between this hop and this one. In this case, it's not quite clear, where is the delay, who caused the delay. We can have a scenario where the on-prem server tried to deliver, but the cloud delayed the message, throttled the message. Yeah, on the other side, and actually in this case, the problem was here. Another interesting thing here, you can click on this small arrow. I don't know how many of you noticed this arrow before, but this can give interesting information. We can see here the version number of the servers. So imagine that we know that a specific server version has a feature or will have a feature. And I don't know, we can see that, or a customer asks us why something didn't happen. I should already have that feature available, blah, blah, blah. And you can look at the message, you can see through which servers the message passed and what was the version number of that server. So you can understand if the feature was available to those servers or not. Just a thing. Another interesting thing is this part where you can see that the message was sent using TLS. You might have scenarios where a customer is trying to force TLS or has a connector using opportunistic TLS, and it doesn't know if the message was sent using TLS or not. You can see in here. Yeah? So between Google and us, we had TLS. Inside Google, we don't know for sure, yeah, because they might not have this information, but between them and us, clearly we have TLS. Yeah, this is most likely important when you have a hybrid environment and the customer is not sure that the message was sent using TLS from his on-prem server to cloud. So here we have exactly such a scenario where the local on-prem server sent the message using TLS. Even inside that local server, the message was sent through the from the hub transport service to the front-end transport service was sent using TLS. Yeah? Okay. What else? Outbound leaving UAP, I already told about that. Next, let's look at a few headers. And instead of discussing on this slide, I will make use of another examples. Here. So I have here an internal message that was sent from my on-premises server to my cloud mailbox, and I can see that the SPF failed, DMARC failed, but still this message has an SCL of minus one. Yeah, although I even have a spam policy which says to mark as high confidence spam all those emails that have SPF hard fail. So this message has a hard fail but is not marked as spam. And we can see here exactly why. And a great thing in the message header analyzer is that you can even click on this link and it will redirect you to the TechNet article explaining all those parameters from the X4 frontend, all those, not exactly all the parameters from the X4 frontend spam report, but most of them and the ones that are important in troubleshooting are explained here. So in this case we have spam filter verdict skke. We can see the same thing here, sv skE ski. And this means that, similar to SFV SKN, the message skipped filtering for another reason, such as being intra-organizational email within a tenant. So this is an intra-organizational email because it was sent from my on-prem server. Yeah. And it matched the hybrid connector. We can see here hybrid on-prem, and the message is marked as internal. We will talk about this header later. So because the message is internal, it skipped filtering. What this means? This means that you can even send spam internally. If I get that gtube, if I get this string and I send it internally, this mail won't be considered spam. It will skip filtering. Yeah? Just because it's internal. Let's take a look at another example. Here I was trying to spoof an email because we introduced a new feature that failed. But look here. I sent a normal email from my Gmail account to my Office 365 mailbox. Let's assume that it's an email sent. It can be. It looks like an email sent from me to a friend or to my wife or something like that. And I'm saying here, I just changed my Facebook profile. Do you like it? And I put a picture. And I'm also informing the other part that I installed a security camera, and here is the link for the camera. Nothing malicious, is not pointing to any virus, to anything. Yeah, the link is okay. The link from here, it's pointing to Facebook. Again, nothing malicious. It's exactly the same thing, yeah, like in the picture. But still, this message was considered to be spam. And let's take a look at the header to see why. Let's paste here. Okay. Spam confidence level 5. So this is a normal spam, not a high confidence spam. Bulk complaint level 0. Phishing confidence level 0. The SPF passed. DKIM passed. DMARC passed. So everything looks good on this side. We go along the header and we have the X4Front anti-spam report where we can see spam filter verdict spam SCL5. Why would that be? And if we continue to analyze the header, we see this X custom spam URL redirect to other port. I don't know if any of you saw this in the past and is aware about the X custom spam header. If we have a failed SPF and we have that hard SPF fail option turned on, we will also see here X custom spam hard SPF fail, something like that. Yeah, so we have this header present here when the email is matching one of the advanced options in the spam filtering policy. In this case, that message matched this setting, URL redirect to other port. As you can see, URL redirect to other port. And that happened because this link to my security camera is redirecting to point 88. Yeah, so if I would have here port 80, this message wouldn't have been considered to be spam. This is why sometimes it's important to also look at the contents of the message. Only from, in this case, the reason is pretty simple, but we might not have this. So we can have a spam message like this one. Yeah, so this is a message in Romanian where, let's say that I'm emailing a friend, I'm saying hello, I tried to get in touch with you in the past days, but you didn't answer, are you okay? And if I'm looking at the header, this has a spam confidence level of 1, but the spam filter verdict is still spam. So how comes? Spam confidence level 1, but still a spam. Any one of you has any idea why this happened? I also don't have that X custom X custom spam header. Strange, here I see X Exchange Organization SCL 9, but in here the SCL is -1. Hector, yeah, exactly. Language not allowed. So if I'm not seeing the contents of the message and the anti-spam policy, I can't correlate all the information to understand why the message is blocked. So in this case, I can see the language is Romanian, but it could be, I don't know, English. And that's nothing abnormal to have the language Romanian, since, you know, I'm Romanian, I'm probably emailing a lot of people in Romanian, so I could see this and it can be normal. It doesn't draw attention here. So I need to see the email to understand, this is an email in Romanian and it has nothing else malicious in it, no links to external sites, nothing wrong. And if I'm also seeing the policy, then I understand why the message is blocked. Okay, let's see what other examples. Let's take a look at this. Okay, so this is a spam message, spam confidence level 5, language, again, Romanian. But remember, in the previous message, the language was Romanian, but the SCL was 1. And this one also have language Romanian, but the SCL is 5. So when we have an SCL of 5 here, or the SCL value that is displayed here, this is the SCL value based on the contents of the email, the actual contents, the body of the email. Yeah? So this means that this email contains some words that the spam filter considered to be spam. So based on the rules, the spam filter considered that this message is spam. Not because of the language, or not only because of the language might play a role, but in this case it didn't, but because of the actual contents of the message. We see a lot of Ray-Ban, probably Ray-Ban It's a brand that is seen a lot in spam emails. So it's important to know that SEL is the spam confidence level. The SEL from here, it's based on the contents of the email, not other properties, but contents. It's very important for you to be aware of this article. Here you can find the meaning of all the values that can be seen here at SFV. Let's do another example, because I was asked to show this, because it happens a lot. I am going to put my Gmail account in the blocked senders so we can see how it looks when an email
I
is
think you
blocked.
added it to the safe senders.
That's also a good example. Let's do this demo. It's even better, I believe. So I have my Gmail account into the safe senders, yeah? Now let's grab that gtube string again and let's send it to my test account. Test spam. If you remember this string here, it's considered the high confidence spam, yeah? Hopefully the setting the setting yeah, it applied. So this, which is a high confidence spam, was delivered to my inbox folder, yeah? Not to the junk email, not to the quarantine. And let's see how it looks in the header when we have an allowed sender. So I can see, spam confidence level 9, spam filter verdict spam. So how comes that the message was put in the inbox?
Well, because the safe sender took precedent over, reading of the message, right?
The problem is that I think that if I am going to send this message again, I will see something different here. The system didn't got the time to update properly, so it took the right decision to put that message in inbox, but it stamped the header according to others. Older settings. Let's try the same test again.
Vic, isn't it if you put it in the safe senders list, shouldn't it skip the whole checking because you've put it there?
And this is exactly what it does. Let's try one more time. This time it should work. I mean, we should also see in the header that the message was allowed because the sender was in the allow list. No, not yet. Anyway, what we should have seen, and if we wait a few more minutes, this would be seen. Spam filter verdict SKA. The message skipped filtering and was delivered to inbox because it matched an allow list in the spam filter policy.
Let me ask you a quick question though. What happens if you have put a safe sender, you have put someone in the safe sender list as an user, and then if someone has added the domain of this particular sender in their allow list, and yet the message goes through spam? Should we be looking into the spam filtering for some other options that may be preventing the normal reception of the email?
So
because it happens, like I would not say quite often, but sometimes you would see cases where we have people adding particular senders to their safe list, whether or not it's like from exchange or like a safe sender in OVA options, and then the email is sent and it still goes to spam.
And in this, sorry, in this case, we should look at the header. If the header says like this, spam confidence level 9, spam filter verdict spam, then it's probably normal. In this case, we have a strange behavior, but this is only because this settings was just modified. Test spam 3. So now, what I've seen in the pod, what usually happens is that the message is not marked as spam. EOP is not considering that message to be a spam, but the Outlook filter is okay. So now we can see I've sent exactly the same kind of message, yeah, with this string, you see, and this time it says SFE. SFE meaning an individual list. SFA would appear, yeah, this one would appear if I would add the allowed sender here. Yeah, okay. That's when I would have SFA. SFE is when the allowed sender is added in OWA, let's say. Yeah, so if UOP says that the spam confidence level is minus 1, but still the message lands in junk, this is possible. This usually happens because of Outlook, and you should get the store events log, and you will see there what kind of agent moved the email from inbox to junk. It might be Outlook, it might be a mobile device, but it happens to have something like this, SCL minus 1, spam filter in verdict, something else, not spam, and still the message to be delivered to junk. But at this point, it's a client, an email client, that is moving that email there. Yeah. Okay, so... Yeah, I'm listening.
Because I see Dan here saying that currently safe domains are not recognized by default in Exchange Online and or in Exchange Online Protection, meaning that even if we add someone to the
I think safe he's list, deferring,
yeah. Okay, so we
I think he's referring to this. No, not this one. I don't know. He left an article there.
Yeah, I just opened it. I'll get a look afterwards.
Okay. The time is running fast. So, yeah, I should have been much quicker. Other things that are important in this header, in the X4 front anti spam report, the connecting IP, this is IP of the server that is sending an email. So when you don't receive an email and you think that the sending IP might be blacklisted, there is no point in getting the originating IP and searching it in the blacklist. This, the connecting IP, is the one that matters. Yeah. So no blacklist. It's actually, there is one UOP blacklist that is looking at the originating IP, but that's for outbound emails. But the spam house blacklist, I don't know, backscatter, all other blacklists are looking at this at the connecting IP. Yeah. We can also see the direction of the email, if it's inbound or outbound, spam confidence level, spam filter verdict. Those numbers here in parentheses, these are the numbers of anti-spam rules. We cannot know what such a number means. Only the anti-spam engineers have access to this information. We don't know. And very important thing to check when we are dealing with outbound emails, we can see here in the forefront, X forefront anti-spam report, if the email was sent externally, we have the direction outbound, and here in this value SFP, yeah, we can see one of these. 1501 means high risk delivery pool. This is the pool of IPs that is being used when EOP detects an outbound email as spam. So if we detect that an outbound email is spam, we are not going to send that email through a normal outbound pool, because the IP from the outbound pool might get in a blacklist. So we are using this high risk pool of IPs, which are most likely blacklisted in one or two blacklists. So we are using these IPs to send email that we detect as spam. Yeah, I hope you will remember, when dealing with outbound emails, the value 1501 means high risk pool. And if an email was rejected, we receive an NDR that the message was not delivered because the IP was blocked by, I don't know what, blacklist, SORPs or whatever. We need to look into this header and to see if it was sent from this pool, the high-risk pool. If that email was sent through the high-risk pool, we are not going to delist the IP. Yeah, it's our IP, but we are not going to delist it. If the email left EOP through one of these IPs from these pools, the outbound normal low risk pool, then we delist these IPs from some blacklists, not from all of them, but from some of them we delist the IPs. Okay, next. This is very important. Yeah?
Before you move on, can you go back very
sure.
quickly? Maybe I didn't see it or whatever, but where should we look for this?
Here.
Where is
let
it?
Let me.
It has to be on the safe side.
Yeah, let me show you a real world example. So this is a spam that I sent. No, this is the other way around. Just a second. Okay. A test sent from my Office 365 mailbox. I can see here direction out. Yeah. This is an email that originated in Office 365 and was sent to someone external, direction out. And the SFP 1102. Yeah, this was not a spam. Yeah, not spam. If this message would have been considered to be spam, it would have left EOP for one of the high-risk pools. So,
okay.
These are very important headers for the mail flow in a hybrid config. And here, this one, exchange organization auth as, this is the most important one. If let's take one of these emails. This is from a on-prem mailbox sent to my cloud mailbox in a hybrid environment. So, as I was telling you, although this message failed the SPF check, it was not considered spam because it was an internal email based on this header. If here I would have anonymous, this mail would have been considered spam because the SPF was failed. So sometimes when the customers are not setting the connectors properly, the mail between on-prem and cloud and vice versa is not considered internal, and hey, they have, I don't know, a lot of issues, like resource mailbox is not auto-booking, things like that. So there are transport rules. Is that transport rule that judges an email as being internal or inside the organization or outside the organization based on this header? Yeah. So an email is sent inside the organization when it has this header. Authentication results received SPF P1, P2 headers. Authentication results. What I did. Here. In the authentication results, we see the result of the SPF check. In this case, it's failed because the IP is not present in the SPF record. Results for the KIM, the sending domain doesn't have the KIM enabled, and results for DMARC. This is the header that has all this information about the KIM, DMARC, and SPF. Yeah, this is where to check for those things. We usually see that SPF is failing, but we can see also a temp error or various other errors. And one of the most common problems with SPF, besides that the IP is not present in the record, is that the customer has two SPF records. That is not allowed by the SPF standard. So when you are looking to see the SPF record of a specific domain, if you see two SPF records, then that's the cause of the error here. Not fail, it will have an error probably. Okay. And this one, it's really important, and although we don't have too much time, I should show this to you. Probably some of you know how to send an email from Telnet. This is the sequence of SMTP verbs that is used to send an email using Telnet. First of all, we say hello and the name of the server, sorry. And we receive a greeting from the other server, which is not displayed here. And the next step is to say who is the sending address of that email. Yeah, so we say mail from, and I don't know, the real address that is used for routing. Yeah. Sending address, recipient. This is the person who will receive the email. And then after we issue the data command, we start to from here it starts the message body. And in the message body we can define what Outlook displays. And to define what Outlook displays in the from field, we issue this command from, and we say whatever we want here. This doesn't even have to be an email address. But this is how someone can spoof an address. It says mail from somebody at gmail.com, and in the from command it says CEO or whatever he wants. Yeah, this is how email is spoofed. And I will show you such an example. Really, really quickly.
All right.
So this is a spoofed email that, if I remember correctly, passed the SPF check. Yeah, SPF check passed. So the mail from the first command after the hello is the mail from, and I used this address. The mail from address appears as return path. Yeah. So the SPF check was carried out against this domain. And because I had the IP in the record, the SPF check passed. But after I issued the mail from a recipient to, when in the when filling in the body of the message, I issued the from command where I said from CEO, and here I choose to include this info in the brackets, but it's not important. I can even say CEO and that's all. From CEO to accounting. Yeah? And this mail didn't fail the SPF check because the domain that I was using for SPF was nextdoor.name. Yeah. So that's the difference between the P1 header and P2. P1 is mail from, P2 is what is displayed in Outlook, and is this one from field. We don't have time to do a demo on this right now, but that's how email spoofing is done. You specify something in the mail from and something else in the from, and this is displayed in Outlook. Any questions? I'm sorry that it took so long. I was not paying too much attention to the time. Sorry for that. So no questions?
I think no.
Yeah, can you just send us also the presentation?
Yes, I can do that. I don't know how much it will help, but yes.
It would be a good reminder.
Guys, we'll have the recording as well, so
yeah.
We don't know yet where we'll publish them, but they will be available for everybody.
We should have a poll now, really, really quick.
Yep.